Hello, everyone. This is National Master Evan Rabin, and I am very excited to be here on the 170th edition of the Premier Chess Podcast with a very special guest. We have Florian Health, who is actually the Director of Business Development for the Corporate Esports Association. They actually are kicking off a new second season of the chess competition, I believe, starting next Monday. Is that correct?
First game is going to be September 4th. Yeah.
It's truly a great competition. Last year, they had the first one. He's actually done a lot of stuff with one of the captains who has formerly been on the podcast, Lisa Melikina, who's an attorney. And Florian, by day, actually works for where he's a software engineer. For those of you that haven't yet, definitely check out our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PremierChess, where we do lots of live commentary, live podcast recordings like this one, lots of game analysis, lessons, and lots of other things on there. He also does a lot of other different things. He's a board member of the Washington Chess Federation, where he specifically focuses on corporate and collegiate chess. And he is also the club president of the Amazon Chess Club, where about 80 members in Seattle have actually expanded to 700 plus members worldwide, which is definitely, in my book, pretty impressive. And, it's just great to see. We actually do a lot of classes at Google, Citigroup, other, major corporations. But the truth is, a lot of people don't see the value that chess could, bring in business. And clearly, Florian is one of those people. So for one, Florian, can you just say a little bit more about yourself and kind of how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thanks, Evan, for inviting me to be on this podcast. I'm really excited to be here.
My honor.
In terms of myself, so I'm currently in Seattle, as you said, working for Twitch. I worked for Amazon before. Being a software developer. I'm German myself, so I grew up in Germany, moved to the US about like 7-8 years ago, and came through the University of Oklahoma, actually. I did my master's in Oklahoma, started the Oklahoma Chess Club as well, or the chess club at the University of Oklahoma. Then went basically through college chess as well, like participated in the Pan Ams. And then once I graduated, moved to Seattle. And I was basically like, well, let's see what chess exists here in Seattle, because I mean, it's definitely a little bigger than Oklahoma is. So I got in contact with the Washington Chess Federation, started organizing the club at Amazon a little bit since I did coaching before. We did some lessons. And then I think it was like early summer 2017 when I got in contact with the chess club at Microsoft as well. Like Microsoft, one of the bigger employers as well here in Seattle. They're sitting mostly in Bellevue, like right across the lake basically for us. And I knew that back in the 1990s, they had huge rivalry matches against Boeing because, I mean, Boeing is obviously one of the biggest employers in Washington State. And I was like, well, why can we not do something like this as well? Like, I'm new to Seattle. Like, let's figure out something, because let's do some networking over the game of chess, basically, like find some opponents. Amazon in Seattle also has like 60,000 employees at this point. Like, getting to know people is not as easy as it might seem, especially like across the whole company. So why not just invite everybody who's interested in chess and like get together some games?
So let me ask you, I worked, as I told you, at Oracle for a couple of years, and I worked at Rapid7 for a year, doing enterprise sales, and definitely understand, what it's like to be in corporate America. But what would you say is like the biggest advantages for, you know, a major company like, you know, Amazon or Google or any of these other major companies out there to, you know, offer it as a program or, you know, some kind of community?
The last word you said is like the most important, I think, for me, like community, because the people who are going to be at play corporate chess, like, yeah, we do have like a grandmaster at Amazon with Maurice Flores. We have like a couple of national masters, but the vast majority of players is going to be like in the early amateur, early beginner to maybe like 1600-1700 range. That's the majority of players you will see. So the ambitions of those players who have families and so ever, like, are not going to be as high as if you go to a, like a regular over the board tournament. People who are attending that, like the Amazon or corporate chess club or other corporate chess clubs, is basically to make connections, like find other people who are interested in something similar. I can give you a good example. I think from on the Twitch side, we had like people from custom support, basically play games and network with the director of engineering of like one of our largest orgs. And that kind of networking or relationship would just never happen without a common interest. So yeah, it's definitely a great way to network with people. And yeah, like some teams use it as a team bonding exercise where just people play together and play in team events. But yeah, the networking aspect is definitely the biggest for me.
Okay, wonderful. And yeah, it's just great to see, you know, the community. It's also, of course, a great way to network between between divisions and build, you know, a much, you know, greater, you know, community. And yeah, you know, it's definitely, like something that is, you know, important to do. And yeah, I'm really excited about this, you know, league, you know, coming up again. And, you know, can you just tell us, you know, a little bit more about, you know, what it's going to entail and maybe why, you know, big businesses should, you know, get into it?
Yeah. So the league itself, as you said earlier, we had the first season earlier this year, our spring season. And we picked up chess, like the CAA has been existing since 2012. Like CAA itself has been doing like gaming tournaments, like the regular esports titles in terms of like League of Legends, Counter-Strike, StarCraft, and picked up chess because chess is becoming more and more online focused with COVID happening, everything is moving online. So it was a great opportunity to tap into the existing corporate chess leagues that are already existing. So we had a corporate chess league happening in Seattle, with Boeing, Microsoft, Amazon. We had a couple like smaller companies here as well. Then there is a corporate chess league in New York City as well, which you mentioned with Alyssa Malekina, who is, running for the law firm. Goldman Sachs played in those tournaments before. In St. Louis is a corporate chess league happening. They're mostly focusing over the board tournaments. So getting all the corporate chess teams together into one league was kind of like our main objective to unify the community a little bit in that regards. With the tournament happening online, there's a lot of networking, cross-company networking happening as well. You basically get contacts from all the different companies out there you're playing chess against. And just having like a basically an in to start a conversation. Hey, I played you last weekend in that corporate chess tournament. Let's just like get on a meeting and talk for a little bit because I'm interested in what you're doing. It's like a lot easier than just contacting somebody randomly on LinkedIn or whatever and like saying like, hey, want to join my network? It's a little bit more awkward that way. So the main focus is again, like the networking aspects, the team building aspects, the team. The CA tournament is done is it a true team tournament? So you're playing as four players against four players on the opponent team, playing everybody on the opponent team. So it's like the Chevening system, which you might know from the Pro Chess League as well.
Right.
And then all the scoring is done by accumulating scores across the whole team. So 4x4 is 16 matches. So first team to 8.5 basically gets the match point, which is our primary standings and scoring mechanism. Or for an 8-8, which happens quite often as well, people then or teams split the match points. And then for the season itself, so it's a 3 months long season. You have 7 weeks of like a round robin tournament in small groups. You can reschedule your matches with your opponents as well because you know your opponents in beforehand, which makes it a little easier for a couple of players because, as I said, like they have usually other focuses as well with family and work happening and other things they have to do. So being able to flexibly reschedule matches is very important for us. And after the 7 weeks of round robin, the top teams then qualify for a knockout playoff mode, where then the top two teams qualify directly for quarterfinals, and then play the other teams in that group play basically out who's going to be getting the remaining spots. One big aspect of that tournament as well is the entry fee of the tournament is like $160 per team. It's not that crazy. But 100% of the entry fee goes into the donation pool, and the winning teams then can decide to which nonprofit the money goes to. So the CA donated over $60,000 based on those tournaments just last year to nonprofits and charities. And the teams who are playing in the tournaments can then decide directly, hey, I want to give money to or play for the Red Cross or for Doctors Without Borders or the Amazon team or the Amazon team has played for like the Vaccine Alliance to like support smaller countries worldwide to get more vaccines that way distributed. So like every team basically has their own objective of like who they are playing for. So they have a charity aspect for that as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, well, it's just great to see that, you know, it's not only a great community for everyone, but of course, you know, you're giving back. It's just so great to see actually a lot of people, you know, using chess, you know, as a way to, you know, actually give back. You know, we actually, you know, obviously often give silent auction and raffle donations to, you know, all different types of nonprofits. We also do some virtual fundraisers. But then there's people like, you know, Scott Miro and, you know, Ryan Ratcliffe, you know, running tournaments, you know, that actually are, you know, charity, you know, fundraisers by, you know, that themselves. So, yeah, it's, you know, props to you for, you know, what you're doing there. So if people do want to, you know, register and get involved, how could they do so?
Yeah, so we have a tournament website. The website is at cea.gg/chess. And registration is open until the 28th of August, so for about like a week more. That being said, we usually can fit in teams as well if they come in at least before the preseason, which starts on September 4th. So yeah, just go to cea.gg/chess, and there's a big registration button as well. All rules, tournament mode, schedule is going to be explained on there as well. So if you're looking for more information, you can go there, or my contact information is on that website as well.
Great. And, you know, look, I definitely highly recommend it. We'll certainly be, you know, promoting it to all of our you know, corporate clients and partners. Last thing I really wanted to, you know, ask you as a side note, meant to do this a little bit earlier, actually, but what do you see as like the benefits that like tech programmers could actually learn through chess? And what do you see as the biggest like parallels between programming and playing chess?
There are actually quite a few. I think the strategic thinking in general applies to a lot of the how programs are run at Amazon. Basically figuring out what is my plan, working backwards from like, hey, I want to like get an advantage or build this program out. Like, what is actually happening in this program? If you look it up online, it's public information as well. You can just Google basically the Amazon working backwards principle, where you're basically working backwards from what would be a solution to the problem I have, and then work backwards from that of how do you actually get to the solution. And I feel like a lot of chess thinking is very similar of like, I want to activate chess pieces here, or I want to create an attack here. And basically you have to work backwards from that of like, okay, I want to start an attack on the king side. How do I make this happen? Like, how do I move my pieces over there to get the best outcome? And a lot of the strategic or planning thinking applies to both chess and like my profession in the IT world. And I mean, looking at chess players in general, like lots of chess players are in like STEM oriented fields, into business fields, where like all this logical thinking is applied. So I don't necessarily think like chess one-to-one translates, but the mindset you are in when you're a chess player is very valuable in that IT or STEM world, basically.
Huh. Yeah, and I think that is, you know, an important idea. And, you know, I think there are other aspects in there too. You know, it's just about, you know, being able to, you know, double check your work. You know, one thing that I actually talk about all the time is, you know, blunder check. You know, when you're about to make your move, the last thing you really want to do is, you know, just kind of look for, you know, silly mistakes. And I actually relate that to, you know, volley analysis, right? And how, you know, yeah. Amazon has, you know, whole teams. That's pretty much all they do, right? Like look for bugs and, you know, do quality, you know, control. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's definitely fair to say. And gaining those skills in your job is very hard to do. Like, there's no one who, like, besides being on a project yourself and like getting that experience, it's really hard to get the experience in the real world. But chess can be like a very good simulation for that. Like, as you mentioned, the double checking your work, all the principles you apply to your chess, or what you're looking for to get in the corporate world, you can just apply to chess and train it that way. So yeah, I think it's a really good way to gain more skills or advantages over others who might not use chess as a training mechanism that way.
Yeah, no, and I think it, you know, it is definitely important to, you know, look at the, you know, parallels, right? When we're learning chess, we're not just learning how to move plastic pieces, but we're learning how to, you know, think ahead. And of course, it could be applied into, you know, almost any, you know, profession, you know, or industry. So also, you know, since your day job is at Twitch, obviously, I don't need to tell you that there's been, you know, huge rising, you know, Twitch community in the last couple of years of chess players. You know, there's, you know, of course, Taro Nakamura, there's 10,000 people, you know, watching him at once. You know, there's, you know, many other, you know, great streamers as well who have, you know, kind of came along with him. And actually, a few of my podcast guests, actually, I've actually met through the chess community on Twitch. You know, Dick Up Fortuna Chess Coach, John Hendrick. Literally, I met him, like, hanging out on his stream, Chess Coach John. So I just, I want to actually, like, you know, thank people like yourself for, you know, allowing that to, you know, kind of come about. But, I just wanted to, you know, out of curiosity, ask you, you know, and I'm sure some of this might not be like fully public knowledge, but, you know, what kind of things, you know, do you program in your day job? You know, what is it like, you know, in the back end of like the whole, you know, chess community on Twitch?
Yeah, so it's very rewarding for myself to like work at Twitch, because like the products I've been working on are like directly impacting the community. The last product I've been working on was the new drop system. So it's not necessarily like very prominent for chess streams, but like other games are using it very effectively. For basically, you can watch Twitch streams and get like in-game rewards and in-game items. Still waiting for like companies like Lichess or chess.com or something to pick something like that up. I mean, it could be a cool experiment to watch 10 hours of a chess.com live stream and get like a 2-day or a 7-day premium subscription at chess.com. So definitely would be possible in powered by Twitch through the systems I built. But yeah, as I said, like, I think it's very rewarding to be on the Twitch side, because not only am I contributing to the platform itself, but like being a consumer on the other end as well. It's the connection makes it really nice.
So out of curiosity, other than, of course, our stream, twitch.tv/premierechess, we don't want to be biased here. who's your favorite chess streamer?
I really like Hikaru's stream. It's very entertaining to just watch him. Like, I don't go to Hikaru's stream to learn something, because like it's just too fast. Like, it's Hikaru brain, like, it's over the top anyway. But yeah, like, for entertainment purposes, I definitely want to go to Hikaru's stream. I think for learning purposes, going to like Gotham Chess, to Eric Rosen's Twitch channel, I think those are having a totally different pace and are more educational. So, but yeah, I mean, there are so many good streamers out there that, to be honest, like, COVID probably was not the worst development for the chess community, because like the chess community had to figure out, hey, what do we do now? And moving online, moving into Twitch, chess viewership on Twitch has been growing so much. And with the viewership, more chess players come around. I mean, there's a whole generation at this point who never played an over-the-board tournament or game and only played on chess.com or online because they just picked it up during the pandemic. So it's going to be interesting. Like, I think overall, the chess community is in a better state than it was before COVID, especially with the pandemic slowly going down, fingers crossed, and over-the-board tournaments happening more and more. I think we will see a positive impact going forward for the whole chess community itself.
Yeah, and it's just great to see. I mean, I've actually known Levy Rosman, Gotham Chess, for, you know, literally many, many years, you know, since she was about 8. And yeah, we also, you know, Eric Rosen, I met a little bit, don't know him, you know, that much in person, but, you know, he great guy as well. And, you know, it's just so great to see that, you know, friends that are not just friends, you know, are coming up to me being like, hey, have you seen Hikaru's stream? You know, I'm like, whoa, yep. You know. And by the way, you know, funny true story, I was actually with Hikaru and Sunil Wiramatri, his stepfather. Of course, Sunil is also a previous podcast guest, and Robert McClellan and a couple of others. You know, having lunch, Maurice Hilton, a lot of people down in Sunrise, Florida. And like Hikaru was like, at the time, I didn't even know anything about Twitch, to be honest. You know, this is fall 2019. And, you know, Hikaru was like leaving lunch to run back to like stream. And I was like, what is he doing? Like, why is he like, you know, like leaving lunch early? Like, and I had no idea that he was like starting to make like literally thousands of dollars a week, you know, streaming. Yep. You know, I didn't even know his profession. I thought this was just like something he was doing like completely for fun, you know, and now I'm like, whoa, you know, it's just like, honestly, I'm lucky if I have like 10 people watching my stream at once, you know,
I mean,
let alone 10,000.
He covers a very much like a trendsetter in that direction as well. Like, he was the first chess streamer to get like an esports deal as well with, you know, with Team Solomid, TSM. Right. I think that was followed up by the Botas sisters, who got signed by Envy. And since then, I think there were a couple more chess streamers who were signed by like esports organizations at this point. And again, like, Hikaru being the first is like having a corporate sponsor. Like, I remember like what, 4 or 5 years ago, him being at St. Louis, like with his Red Bull can next to the board because he was sponsored by Red Bull. Now being the first one with a esports deal with TSM, I think Hikaru is definitely like one of the trendsetters and drivers for the whole chess community where it is going. And yeah, I would love to see other chess players, like top chess players who are having a public presence, do something similar. But I'm very glad that we have a Hikaru who's doing something in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, I look, anything that is good for PR in chess is wonderful. Of course, this year it's been, sort of the Twitch community, and of course, Queen's Gambit. I was quoted in the New York Times by Dylan McClain about its direct effect on the business, which is, absolutely, tremendous and wonderful. So, yeah, it's just so great to see. A lot of progress and yeah, all PR is good. I've had Andrea Pass on the podcast as well, a PR friend, and that's just what we talked about. Chess is now something that's cool, and hey, we gotta use leagues like this to really wide the rave and just keep it going. So yeah, I just wanted to say, thank you so much for, coming on. It was great talking about, some of the benefits of corporate chess programs, the second corporate chess league coming up. Of course, in the show notes, I'll include a link for those interested to sign up. The importance of, charity and giving back. And then also, of course, talking a little bit about the intersections of programming and chess, talking a little bit about the Amazon work backwards principle, and then of course talking about the rising chess community on Twitch. Is there anything else you'd like to add while you're on the podcast?
I think that wraps it up really nicely. There are definitely like lots of growing still to do in the corporate chess, in the collegiate chess, how they can benefit from each other. But I think we're getting somewhere. Like we're still in baby steps, but it's yeah, it's doing good.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Keep up all the great work that you're doing. Yes, it was a very, very fun interview. Really look forward to, collaborating. Florian, of course, is managing this amazing league again starting next week. We're going to be, working with him, and we do provide coaching to a lot of, major companies. And just like we do with our school programs, we like to build big chess cultures, have something that, when people are, interviewing at a company, we would love to hear that company talking about chess, right in, the interviews. So, yeah, thank you so much. And if anyone would like to, ask any more questions about the league, potential, sponsorships, partnerships, how can people get a hold of you?
You can reach me at CEA at chess chess at CEA.gg. So yeah, just shoot me an email. And that's usually the easiest way to get me. So again, like that's chess at CEA.gg.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing how the league starts next week.
Sounds good. Yeah, maybe we do this again like in like 3 4 months and I will be reporting from who will take back the win?
Looking forward to it. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.